is a selection from Dr. Ken Pargament's excellent and highly respectful book on the psychology of religion and coping. Every religious coping effort represents a response to values under fire, values that are tested, endangered, or lost through life's events. And every religious coping effort has a common end, the enhancement of significance. Of course, there are many ways to enhance significance, but from a functional perspective, it comes down to one of two strategies in coping: to try to hold on to what matters most, or to try to let go and change. To put it another way, the choice in coping is to conserve or to transform. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to all our visitors and friends and members. Well, as Roger pointed out, I have a little bit different memory, 15 years or so, and I've been doing occasional summer services. However many years it's been, I just would like to make one statement, which is that it does not get easier. I become more and more impressed with the gifts and the discipline of our ministry here. And moving from my initial thought that, you know, that might be a pretty good sermon topic, I have entered, some time ago, the zone of irritated questioning. What was I thinking? And why can't I remember? One answer was, and I should mention, these are sort of like small essays. If you thought something would be linear, then you obviously haven't been to my services before. Okay. So, I was thinking about thinking. And of course, I've been thinking about a bunch of stuff sermon-wise, some very cool and some rather shaggy and unruly. And I decided this is the nature of mind, having very much to think about, but many distractions and often no center. So having much to think about is not enough for desire and wish and distraction are yoked together, a pack of unruly little huskies leashed together. The more one lunges and scrambles toward a bright object or a marvelous scent, the more the others become anxious as the tether pulls them ever further from each one's loved object of the moment. So perhaps inner life is either a bunch of unruly little dogs centered about the hitch of the tethers, or else the same dogs briefly united by common interest, the most intense of fears or the most marvelous of incentives, or at last tired out, then sleeping, tethered with rambunctious dreams. Then they will still lunge and scramble, but subdued. So this is one window into consciousness, at least in our stressed times of so many pulls and pushes, our inward life with yips or squalls from pups pulled about. Any dog owners among us? Okay. Can you imagine them? Some cute and charming, some not. This would suggest, I mean, that sometimes you have to get up at night to let your thoughts out. Incidentally, synchronicity is our best friend. That's one of the theses of the sermon, because I saw that in 2 weeks we are going to have a glimpse of wildness, including animals in the sanctuary conducted by Roger. So if you want advanced psychology and introspection, be there. This vision of self is why some of us have an affinity with Pet Sunday. It's full of very independent and often unruly consciousnesses. And that's just what's inside any one mind among the many in the fellowship hall. So too is it akin to the RE class, adult or child, where the minds and connections are various and disconnected except by the teacher's efforts to hold all the strands and knotted leashes until suddenly there is some quiet and focus. Then a shared energy, a shared quiet, a common alertness, uncommon in its stillness. Same group, but different. The center holds. Well, beyond thinking, process and balance. Trust the process. You have so many places and powers within. That's really where healing, spirit, science, balance, and magic all have some say-so. Yet, Western healing, I've been in health psych since the 70s, so I have a right to opinions, right or wrong. Yet Western healing has become so simplistic. Just change your thoughts and behaviors as directed. There! That should do it. Oh, and also this pill is the best. A miraculous molecule. It loves you and has only your best interests at heart. It has a wonderful name. And you should expect a copay for anything as miraculous as this. Don't forget to practice your healthy thoughts and behaviors. Never do anything wrong again and pay no attention to the so-called side effects. Our faith in straightforward changes and discrete chemical compounds overlooks the power, the greater power of balance and process, the great force of homeostasis that maintains balance in living systems. These are powerful unifying forces akin to spirits and to those moments when vision and hand melt into otherness, moments self is no longer living as distinct and detached. They are inherent, but often unseen. One of the many entries into the realm of such forces is through reflection and recall of childhood. I'm not going Freudian on you here, okay? You simply need to revive places, toys, gardens, games, special friends, mentors, landscapes that are as vivid, maybe more so, than your route to church today. You cannot go back home again to childhood or cross that same river again, but it flows just the same, and only you can find it. On my father's desk, decades ago, was this stanza from Yeats. I will arise and go now, for always, night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore. While I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. I appreciated it then, but now I see I live it, and thus at some level I am now far more joined with his inner life and balance, despite his being gone these 37 years. So there is a landscape of connections, sacred, whether still frightening or warmly welcoming, or both. You know yours, much of it only dimly, a geography less mapped, yet more familiar than your daily distractions and demands. This is part of your balance and your resilience. Here there may be demons, old pain and old flinching, or putting on the strong face and forgetting how to remove it. Prozac does not necessarily help. Memories may trouble, but even greater cost is accounted to the efforts to walk quietly, to avoid, to dismiss such recollections. Shaking one's head, not me, walking on tiptoes, working to create no offense, people pleasers, you know who you are, gets tiring, and sharp scalpels plus sedative medicine can't treat this wear and tear. So how are we going to accept the process and the dance? Well, I'm glad that the latest revisitings of psychotherapy now include this notion of acceptance. In best mindful fashion, the message now is quit fighting against your experience, pulling against the other pups of your nature. Be quiet and find balance and welcome fresh experience. This is variously called acceptance and commitment therapy, or mindfulness-based therapy, or Alcoholics Anonymous's second and third steps. Research in medical healing affirms the power of trust, listening, and hope, the need to join with people where they are on the journey, and the value of doing less to people but more with them and with their processes of healing. I'd like to think it's becoming less mechanical and more, well, a dance. This sermon, then, is also about the dance. It's funny the things you discover as you write these things. For different stages of life and family, think songs and steps and perhaps your favorite music. However old you are, whatever decade you're thinking about, there's a market for it, and somebody's got a collection out there that you probably need to find. Somebody there is dancing your dances. Think different partners, line dance, ethnic dances, boogie-woogie, raves, holiday dances. I take some comfort in thinking on occasion, what if the hokey-pokey really is what it's all about? And about the music. The song bridges neighborhoods of the mind. It unifies the linear verbal and the simultaneous holistic. Reciting the words is a different circuit from having the melody carry the words and mobilize both sides of the brain. For some people, perhaps many, music is evocative of emotion and images, the soundtrack of your life. Think about your favorite movie soundtrack, or your favorite song from movie or theater, or that song that's at the heart of a stage of your life. Oh yes, now I'm channeling the birds doing turn, turn, turn. Anybody? Okay, a few. Okay, good. You've now declared your age. Thank you. See how music colors your life. She wore blue velvet. Blue moon. Paint it black. Red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. White Christmas. So it's about who dances also, and what music we favor, and what drama we live with our players and our soundtrack and our palette, and how we connect, balance, lead, or follow. Okay, the stages of life. All life's a stage, and as soon as you get used to it, they're changing the script. Stages of development are designed with that certain irony. This pleases my sense of divergent thought, even as it points to the changes and tensions within life's course. In essence, you know, you finally get it, and then life adds a whole new set of rules and demands. Frustrating and complex. How to hold on to what was already achieved, yet synthesize it with the next stage. Such as, I couldn't get anybody to join in, but I think we have somebody back there I could have. Just a few months into living. Wow, this is great. Food on demand. Bucking is quickly fixed. Did you bring diapers? Good, okay. Great entertainment. Makes you laugh out loud sometimes. I'm just chilling. But whoa, you can change the channels on this thing. And where's the remote? It's cool to roll over, but I can't roll back. I'll call the front desk. Parents, you see it. They're wonderful and finally free of colic and ear infections, but then they start to roll and crawl and walk. They get autonomy, and pretty quick they run into limits, yours or the doors. They learn more and more what they like, and then they get some doses of shame, guilt, and anxiety. They learn how to be good and bad, but then they suddenly realize the greater power of the group. Three other 12-year-olds can promptly override a decade's worth of patterns and thoughts. So just think about the impact of dozens or hundreds of early teens. And they figure out boys and girls, but then there's this mix of how you ought to be and also this collision of chemicals. That secret, wondrous confusion that some of you might recall from teens, or else you've tried to suppress it. So you figure out dating, kind of, what you might be when you grow up, whatever that means. How to balance a checkbook, who cares? How to buy your own groceries, Burger King. And then you're supposed to put another person's feelings on a par with your own and compromise? And then sometimes your family becomes a small committee with the new members very vocal and holding most of the veto power. Eventually they leave, and they do not recruit committee replacements. It's kind of like the fellowship that way. However, once they have their own children, they'll sometimes bring you temp help, which is nice because you don't have to pay benefits. Grandkids are time-limited employees who do excellent work, can learn new dances, will gather eggs, pull weeds, feed horses, and help make the breakfast. And then thank you for having so much fun. Where were they a generation ago? And then those grandchildren elect to grow up much faster than their parents did, it seems, but with less effort. Parents, I know you work hard, but it ain't us doing the heavy lifting. And with more poignancy. I reread brief poems for unborn grandchildren who are now within easy anticipation of middle school or college. And next, well, let me get back to you on that, okay? However, it's clear that the skills and courses of life are most varied at the beginning and at the end of the span of life. And while I can't attribute it, I take comfort in how life is lived forward but understood backward. And also that life is what happens when you were expecting something else. I can almost see great-grandkids from here, along with Social Security or not, and spryness or not. I've already lived through being cute in that elderly way with my spry wife, the car dealer saying, "Aren't you guys cute sitting in that sports car?" I say, "Oh, no." Having the teenager at the grocery ask, "Do you need help getting groceries to the car, sir?" And getting a senior discount. Not that there's anything wrong with these things. Well, you can start to see we've got a theme going now. Balancing sameness and differentness. Balancing where we've been and where we're going and what in the world's happening now. So in this course of life, this river and its landscapes, there is great change but also much sameness. For heaven's sake, personality's outlines show continuity from inside the womb up to the last hours or minutes of life's trajectory. If we do not evolve, we become rigid. If we have no pattern, we become chaotic. As Yeats writes of difficult times a century ago, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." I was reading a poem and it kind of surfed through CNN and another news channel that will remain unnamed. And I thought that maybe, well, Yeats actually did channeling. His partner channeled other voices to help him with his poetry. But this line I thought was relevant to television and media today. "The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity." So unfortunately, what passes for dialogue sometimes still is that center not holding. So in sorting my thoughts, I began to wonder what classical god of Greek or other mythology was the patron of homeostasis, feedback loops, balance, the invisible forces that maintain life and the dance. One of the visions that's comforted me, different times and in different garbs, is out of Joseph Campbell and his interview with Bill Moyers, who asked Campbell, "Do you ever have the sense of being helped by hidden hands?" To which Joseph Campbell replies, "All the time. It's miraculous. I even have a superstition which has grown on me as the result of invisible hands coming all the time. Namely, that if you do follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while waiting for you. And the life that you ought to be living is the one you are living. When you can see that, you begin to meet people who are in your field of bliss, and they open doors to you. I say," said Campbell, "follow your bliss and don't be afraid, and doors will open where you didn't know they were going to be." Well, invisible hands. They sit well with the diverse spiritual beings in the Hindu pantheon, the supportive presence of the Bodhisattva, that Buddha who's elected to stay in the world to support us distracted, suffering beings instead of departing for nirvana, the guardian angels who mediate our ties with elsewheres, the relationships with those deceased yet still living in the basement or the attic of our lives, the earth-based traditions of respect for the invisible web of life, and that spirit, probably the classical god of homeostasis, Gaia. Closest I could find. Helping hands. I think of learning to ride the bicycle, of finding the courage to do what needs to be done, of practicing detached reflection. We seek such help when taking risks, learning new skills, admitting our anxious ignorance. In turn, we seek to support and affirm others, yet not enable them or lose ourselves. Well, this is kind of abstract, but as you sit there right now, there are so many invisible hands within you on that chair. Right now, there are a whole bunch of baroreceptors. These are little pressure observant structures that note your blood pressure all along the river of your circulation. There are monitors of O2 and CO2, oxygen and carbon dioxide, who are pacing your breathing and your chemistry. You're making automatic, more or less, adjustments in your tension and alertness so you do not sleep, snore, or fall out of your chair during this sermon. of what I witness in healthcare strengthens or revives this wondrous power of homeostasis and balance within the person via judicious addition of empathy, instructions, sometimes chemicals, and feedback to restore balance and get the rider back on the horse. And much of this medicine, then, this healing, is via the balancing and stabilizing effect of hope, meaning, and expectations. Small inputs have great effect in such systems. The spinning skater extends hands and the spin slows, draws hands in and things speed up. The healer gives medication, and when this is done with empathy, connections, and hope, the medication has powers far greater than otherwise, even if it be a sugar pill. So, somewhere in us is the center of this wheel, invisible but rich with connections. As T.S. Eliot has named it, the still point of the turning world. Except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance, and there is only the dance. So the pulse, the dance of inhale and exhale, the spinning dancer, the wheel of the earth through the year, all mix forces. Most notably, forces away from the center and forces toward the center. Forces that move us to be our own persons and forces toward communing and finding self with others. So, let's finish up talking a little about community. So finally, we should see that spiritual communities, if they do nothing else, remind us of how to find hidden strengths, mobilize invisible hands, recognize one's bliss, and maintain balance. They can help balance that pull to separate with the pull toward relationship. They can help us maintain what is constant and comforting in the face of chaos, yet affirm transition and change when this is what is most threatening. These are the two great functions of the spiritual community that Dr. Pargament had noted in today's reading. Helping the person to balance aloneness with togetherness, change with constancy, and the constant with the ever-changing. And sometimes the family, at its best, may be a spiritual community also, a place that weaves a similar tapestry. Not surprisingly, some of our most important pursuits and compelling interests and transitions are those that challenge us at the edge of balance or comfort. I am impressed with those who take the greatest risks, develop the greatest virtuosity. Whether the base jumpers, jumping off buildings, antennas, structures, cliffs, the triathletes, the virtuoso musicians, the compassionate and brave healers, the gifted teachers. I hadn't thought of it, but I would add ministers who do four versions of the same sermon on a given weekend. I have enjoyed water skiing. I still do. I'm still spry enough. But recall with distaste the memories of so many times being huddled in an ill-fitting life jacket, a cold and slippery handle alien to my hands, skis bobbing with an uncooperative life of their own, and then loud sounds of being dragged underwater and exhaust fumes until nearly losing my swimsuit and then cast aside like flotsam. I think that happened. Well, it seems thousands of times. But there's nothing like finally finding equilibrium in a new dance on the boundary between worlds. Lots of invisible hands. Get up out of that water. Spirits, perhaps, and then a wider horizon. So, welcome change, yet endorse, affirm sameness. If you can't change, then be quiet, do nothing, and then read the instructions. Actually, you could read, better yet, you could read the directions. It would be even better. The newsletter. Cultivate a friendly affection for your stuckness, your same old flaws, your remarkable balance, however awkward or painful your dance and posture may seem. Be still. Be attached to the present and sameness. Be attached to loss and chaos. If you don't know what to do, practice doing nothing skillfully and with serenity. Dance and keep dancing. Walk those dogs. Get them familiar with the harness and the dog sled that will carry your bliss into winter. Pay respects to the process of balance within you. Look for the invisible. Or as my current favorite rock band Cloud Cult says, the forces of the unseen. The forces of the unseen. That's the process that balances itself. And you've got a bunch of them in you right now. Remember, it's all temporary, and eventually you have skied to the bottom of that hill in winter, or you've reached the end of the best 5 minutes of music you could imagine. And then remember that the quiet will welcome and renew you.